Amen. And if you would, just slip those hands up. And Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us through your word. Thank you for the awesome praise and worship service. Thank you, Lord, for our musicians that play so skillfully, whose hearts are surrendered to you, and lead us into worship. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So illuminate the way, Lord, as we navigate through a dark and fallen world. We need to hear from you like never before. We open our hearts and minds to receive your word. And we thank you for your word, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 as we continue on our study, knowing God. And in this particular section is knowing God and knowing your heart. Again, it's good to see you all this morning. Thank God for you all. Thank God he watched over us another week, another day. Can't take it for granted. So a lot happens in a day, in a week's time. And if you would, stand for the reading of the word. Your Bibles are open to 1 Chronicles 29. And I'll read verse 19. Well, I'll read 18 and 19. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of the people and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep the commandments, thy statutes, thy testimonies and thy statutes, and to do all these things and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. You may be seated. So as we continue the study on knowing God and knowing your heart, here we are again. We're privy to David's farewell prayer. As he's on his way out, he knows that his time is up. He's going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. He's praying, and we're privileged to hear this prayer. He talks about the heart. He prays for the heart of the people. Then he prays for the heart of his son, Solomon. You know how important it is to pray for people and to pray for our own sons and daughters. And now we know to pray for their heart. And it's so important that God has your heart. If God has your heart, he has everything else. When they asked Jesus what was the two most important commandments, he said, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. It always comes back to you loving God with your heart. It's so important. God has your heart, he can have everything else. If he doesn't have your heart, he has nothing else. So as I'm going through the study, we were in the book of Jeremiah. So let's go back to the book of Jeremiah. And is Brother Ivy here today? Brother Ivy, I'm going to be all over the place. I normally whisper that in his ear. Brother Ivy, I'm going to just roll with me. I'll be all over the place. So you guys get to hear. Now, Brother Ivy, I'm going to be all over the place. But as I was trying to get to Jeremiah 17, we're going to get there. But go to Jeremiah 7 before we get to 17. Go to Jeremiah 7. And 23. When you're there, say amen. Amen. God says, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. Wow, somebody underline that. That's how Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So that wasn't really anything new, because in Jeremiah, he told him, if you obey me, I will be your God. So that now you see why it's so important that God has our heart. So now we got to evaluate our lives. Am I really obedient to God? Is he really my God? Because whatever has your heart, that's what you are obedient to. But God says, again, in verse 23, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. So God is saying, if you do what I say, it's just well for you. It works out well if you follow God's commandments. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. And God's not trying to stop you from having a good time in life. God is trying to help it be well with you. Amen. Amen. God is trying to help it help us to be well, to live well by doing what he says do. And it's really interesting how we can we listen to other things. And let me see. I think I brought this in. I hope I brought it in. I can find it. No, you can't find stuff when you need it. And when you get old, it doesn't get any better, does it? Let me see. Did I stash it in here? Yeah, I got to pray for y'all, Pastor. He can't find what he's looking for. No, I cannot find it. Oh, that is just, it's just too bad. But all right, here's the gist of it. And you all prayed for me because you know I'm a big scary cat when I had to get my tooth taken out. And so when I, after my wisdom tooth was taken out, they gave me a whole list of things I shouldn't do. Of things I shouldn't eat. They told me, don't chew on that side. It was like a list of commandments. Amen. Don't chew on that side. You don't want to mess those stitches up. They said, do not eat chips and nuts for 2 months so that it might be well with you. And I thought, you know what? I feel like I want me some chips right now. And I'm going to wash it down with some nuts. They told me to stay away from carbonated soda. So I got me a big bag of chips and some peanuts. And a liter of Coca-Cola, right? Now you tell me, who would be the idiot in that case? There you go. Thank you. No, but I didn't do that, but I did think about it. But then it took me back as I was studying the word, is they didn't tell me to do that for them. They could care less if I go and let infection set in and my mouth swells up and I can't talk and I can't. That's not on them. That's on me. So as I'm reading this and God says, keep my commandments that it might be well with you, I got it. So if I live right, then my life is well. It's certain things, certain infections in life that I don't have to deal with because I'm living right according to the commandments. But here we go, verse 24. But they hearken not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart. I ever told you, every time you see heart, underline it. So it said they wanted to walk in the imagination or in the stubbornness, the hardness or the firmness or even the lust, that word imagination being translated in the Hebrew, stubbornness, hardness, firmness, and the lust of their evil heart. And look what happened. It went backward and not forward. Family, let's not go backwards. 2013 is over for all intents and purposes. Let's not go backwards. Let's move forward going into 2014. God, forgive us for whatever we did and didn't do or was supposed to do or what you put on our heart to do in 2013 and we didn't do it. But as of today, Lord, we want to move forward. We want to go forward and not backward. We don't want to walk in the imagination of our evil heart. We want a loyal heart that's committed to you, that it might be well with us. Amen.
Amen.
And then God gives them a history lesson in verses 25 through 28. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants and prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. And when we want to always point the finger at other people, but then God is saying, you did worse than your father. You want to talk about your father and your brother and your sister and your family, but you're doing worse than them. In the evilness of your heart, God help us. He's telling Jeremiah, therefore thou speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to you. They're not going to listen. Though thou also call unto them, but they will not answer you. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. They don't want any instruction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. That sounds like America to me. Amen. That's why it's so important for us to have the truth, that we live the truth. We model the truth and we share the truth. So Jesus told us to make disciples. Build his kingdom. All right, now let's get to 17. I was trying to get to it first. I was trying to get to Jeremiah 17. It's where we kind of left off last week. Jeremiah 17 and 5. We're going to get a little deep. We're not going to get complicated, though, but we got to. But we're not complicated. We got to evaluate life at the end of the year. And I thank God for a new year because it's, you know, God gives us another chance each day. New mercies greet us each morning. Amen. So as it's all coming to a close, Christmas, we're celebrating his birth and a fresh year. Let's just make it right this year. And let's stay right, family. Amen?
Amen.
Because verse 5, 17 and 5, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in mankind and maketh flesh his arm or his strength, and whose heart, there you go, underline heart again, depart from the Lord. From the Lord. And we went over this last week, so I'm going to go over it quickly till we get to verse 9. Verse 6, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. You're like the bush in the desert, a naked bush in the desert, and shall not see good when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabit it. On the contrary, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. So you got a curse and a blessing before us, as we always do. And it's our choice to choose life. Amen?
Amen.
Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
That's
our decision this morning, family, and every day. We have to repeat that every God today. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm going to serve the Lord. Then it gives the benefits of serving God and trusting in God. It didn't say you're not going to have issues in life, but it says in verse 8, well, you're going to be like a tree planted by the waters. You're going to stand and to spread out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. You're not concerned about drought, neither shall you cease from yielding fruit. You will always yield fruit despite, even when the drought comes, even when the tough times come, because you're trusting in the Lord, your life is blessed. And you will stand. Didn't say it wouldn't be tough, but you will stand. And then just in the midst of that, then Jeremiah talks about the heart. This is so important to get why God needs your heart, because verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Boy, that is a tough one. The word deceitful, the translation, your heart. It says the heart is deceitful. So it says the heart is sly, it's crooked,
Sly, crooked, slippery. Didn't think your heart was slippery, huh? Yeah, it is. It's fraudulent and polluted with sin and foolishness. Desperately wicked, translated as your heart is incurably sick. A very sick heart. Oh, God, help us. Hey, just on that alone, I want God to have my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Just on that alone. In the commentary, it says, puts it like this. It says, today we might say our heart is always attempting to con us into something that is not good for us in any way. Its inducements may indeed appear attractive on the surface, but further examination will reveal that its appeals are fraudulent and risky. In fact, its appeals are not only downright dangerous, it is incurably said in this way to be crooked and fraudulent. The heart. That's why David prayed for his son's heart. That's why you and I, and I've been encouraging you. How many of you have been praying for someone's heart? Amen. And I told you that what I find out, the more I pray, the less I complain. Amen. Verse 10, the Lord search the heart. The Lord is investigating your heart. And he said, he tests the reins. He tests the reins of your heart, the mind of your heart, the seat of your emotions and your affections. He's testing what you really love. Somebody say amen. And sometimes we go through things, and like I said, it's not people, it's God testing you to see what you are really committed to and what you really love. And he says, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, the things that you're doing. He's testing you to see what you're really about. Okay, that's what you want. You got it. You want to serve other things? Go ahead. He's testing us to see where we really stand. Not just on Sunday mornings.
Amen.
Not just where we say we stand. But God is testing us to see where we really... That's the only way God can know your heart. He has to send you through a test. Amen. I mean, it's just like when I was teaching school. The only way I could find out what my students know is I have to give them a test. Sometimes it's a pop quiz. Oh, I didn't know what was going to happen. That's good. Now I'm going to really find out what you know because you don't have time to prepare. It just has to come out. Some of us, we might be going through the pop quiz with God. God, I didn't know. God, I would have prepared for this if I would have known it was coming. No, that's okay. I want to see what's really in you. I want to see where you're at. It's okay. That's the only way I can find out. So God needs to have our heart. So as I'm going through the word, I'm trying to put together this lesson about the heart. Because if God doesn't have our heart, honestly, family, you and I were capable to do anything. If you don't believe me, just think back to when God didn't have your heart. The things you were doing. Praise the Lord, everybody. You don't have to think. Some of us, we don't have to think back that far. We can't pretend to be holy because if God didn't have our heart, we'd still be out doing what we were doing. And if we don't continue to allow him to lead and guide our heart, we'll find ourselves right back out there. Talking about I'm not that bad, at least I'm not doing what... No, our standard is Jesus Christ and the Word of God, not other people. It's not other people. All right, turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 3. So if God doesn't have our heart, then it will manifest our it will manifest itself in the things that we do on a consistent basis. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. So here's what I'm comparing here. If God has my heart, then there's no way I can practice sin. We saw that David was a man after God's own heart, but we saw David had a lot of issues. But what David did do was that he repented of his sins and he tried to get it right with God. So God having your heart doesn't mean you won't sin, but it does mean you will not practice sin. And this is what John is saying right here. If you're practicing sin, then you're probably not saved. All right, well, I think the word can say it a lot better than I can. That's a 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whoso committed sin transgresseth also the law, or you break the law, your lawlessness. For sin is the lawlessness of the law, which means you don't care anything about law. And it doesn't mean when it says committed sin, that means that word is practice sin, that you're continually doing your own thing. Verse 5, it says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Thank God for Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, I'm not saying that, you know, that we might not fall or, you know, think about something or, you know, do something we shouldn't have. He said, but you're not practicing that. But, you know, if you do, Jesus, he was manifested to take away our sin, and there was no sin in him. Verse 6, he says, but whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. You're not out there just doing your own thing. Whosoever sinneth have not seen him, neither know him. Underline known. So if you're in Jesus, if Jesus is in your heart, then you're convicted when you're not doing what the word tells you to do. You're not comfortable there. You don't park there. You don't stay there. But it says, whosoever sinneth continues to commit sin hath not seen him, neither have known him. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. Underline that, please. He that doeth righteousness is right, even as he is righteous. Hey, if you're doing right, you're doing right. Don't anybody deceive you saying that they're doing right, they're living right, and they're doing wrong. It just don't work. Because it says, even as he is right, Jesus is righteous. So if Jesus is in me, then I have to be righteous. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Oh, he's going deep. I told you we're going to get deep, not complicated, though. Whew. He that practice sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, or exposed, or brought out, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So it's saying that word committed in verse 8, he that practiced sin. And if you keep doing your own thing, then, hey, God is nowhere in that. So now he's breaking verse 9. He's breaking down into two families. This family, I'm trying to tell you, this is why it's so important that God has your heart. You got to trust God and give him your heart. Line your life up. Whosoever is born of God doth not practice sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifested, or the children of God are exposed. Your lifestyle exposes you. Where you go, what you do, what you say, how you live, exposes what family you belong to. He said either we belong to the family of the devil by doing our own thing or belonging to God. There's no in between. And if you say I don't belong to anybody by default, you belong to the devil. Because you're not committed to God. It's not complicated. Yes, it is deep, but it's not complicated. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not practice sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Wait, what is God talking about right there? Here he's talking about the devil and God and manifest, and all of a sudden he throws in, and he that does not love his brother. What does that have to do with anything? Well, let me tell you, he's talking to those of us in here who think that we, well, I'm not living in sin. I'm not committing sin, so I'm good. I said, no, hold up. But you hate your brother. You don't even call your auntie. You don't even talk to your mama. So you're trying to say you're all holy, but you don't even like people. I said, hold up. You're just as bad as those that's committing sin on a continue. You don't even love your brother. So I had to break it down to what brother meant, because I knew somebody in here would be struggling with that. So he said, brother, any fellow or man, an associate in employment or your office, brethren in Christ, your brothers by blood, all mankind. So let me read that again. No, not that, the scripture. In this, the children of God are made known, and the children of the devil. Okay, so you got the God, you got the devil, you belong to one of those families. I let you, you gotta, that's between you and God. But whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Huh, neither he that loveth not his brother. Wow. Why God got to go there? Because there's some people I just can't stand. Why you got to go? He said, well, you think you got it all together. It's almost like that other gentleman where he said, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, I kept all the commandments. And then he told him, well, you know what? You need to go and sell what you have. Give to the poor. I have riches stored up for you in heaven. And then he got really sad because he had a lot of stuff. It's like those of us that are living right and saying, oh, God, I got it all together. He said, but what about your brother? What about your sister? What about your cousin? What about your mom? What about your dad? What about your kids you don't even talk to? Oh, God, why you got to go there? Because it's a heart issue. Give God your heart. God wants your heart. He wants all of it. He wants all of it. Going into 2014, he doesn't want any part of your heart left behind in 2013. Verse 11, for this is a message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. How do you compare the devil, God, and love? Because it's the relationship. First and most important commandment, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Second commandment, love your as yourself. Now, do I have to break down what the neighbor is? Do I have to go to the story of the Good Samaritan? Well, who's my neighbor, Pastor? I don't have to go there, do I?
No.
Okay, you know who your neighbor is, right? You know who your fellow man is. You know who your brother is, right? Verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and killed his brother. And he killed him. Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. So instead of him getting right, killed his brother. Boy, I told him, I knew it would be a little quiet today. All right, so let's work on the heart just one more time. Because the biggest obstacle to God having our heart is our pride. Because we think we can do it without God, or we know more than God, or God, I got this. God, you can have everything else, but this little thing, I got this. So let me take you to what it says about the pride in Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 6 and 16. Proverbs 6 and 16. And just a side note, as we belong to the family of God or the family of the devil. And we know when Jesus comes back, he separates according to sheep and goats. So that's consistent. So obviously the sheep would be the family of God and the goats would be the family of the devil. So as we're evaluating, as I said, love your brothers as yourself, because in God's eyes, we're either sheep or goats. God doesn't see it. He doesn't see male or female. God, when you stand before God, it's not going to even be husband and wife. It's not going to be boyfriend and girlfriend. It's going to be sheep and goats. It's not going to be that's my parent. That's my. No, you're going to be a sheep or you're going to be a goat. It's not going to be rich or poor, young or old, short or tall, black or white. It's not going to be gay or straight. It's going to be sheep and goats. And so with the whole pride issue, we got to humble ourselves, especially the men, because we always, it's just that in us that wants to exalt ourselves above God. But that's what Satan tried to do. And that's what got him kicked out of heaven. And even as married men and the couples, we had a good time. I do want to thank the couples who we had a good fellowship on Friday night. And thank you all for coming out. Yeah, yeah. Two couples are excited about it, but that's all right. It's not that many of us anyway, but it's okay. But even the pride would try and make me think I'm the man of the house. But I'm actually the sheep of the house. You know, I mean, your house is going to be divided into sheep and goats. There's no room for pride nowhere. We got to stay humble and let God work it out. I'm not the man of the house. You better be the sheep of the house, otherwise you're the goat of the house. So I'll do it. You got to lay the pride aside and let God work in every aspect of our life, every aspect of our relationships. So here we are in Proverbs 6 and 16. Did I say that?
Yes.
And so God talks about the six things that he hates and the seventh, which is an abomination. And the first one, Proverbs 6 and 16, these things does the Lord hate. And see, God bless you. We know that God is a God of love. And we know that. But then there's another side of God where he can't stand sin and rebellion and disobedience. And there's things that God hates. We need to love what God loves and hate what he hates. These six things does the Lord hate. Yeah. Seven are an abomination unto him. 17, number one, a proud look. Underline that. That's the pride. Because that's what keeps us from giving our heart and our life totally to God. It's the first thing. And it's a proud look. It's that haughty look. So prideful that you think you're better than everybody else. You even think you're better than God and you don't even need God. That's the same look that Satan had. A lying tongue is number two. Proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. You better believe we're going to stand before God and have to answer to everything that we do. Oh, look at 18. There it is, underlined, a heart that devise wicked plans, wicked imagination, and feet that's swift to run to mischief. Not to come to church, but anything else you want to get into, I'm there. But I ain't going to run to church, but I'm going to run to mischief. Mischief being interpreted in Hebrew is evil. A false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's why God needs our heart. Because as we look at this and we look back on our life when God didn't have our heart, I know personally speaking, I think I qualified for all these. But look how God has underlined look deals with your eyes, your tongue. God deals with your eyes, your tongue, your hands, your heart, and your feet. He got you covered from top to bottom. God wants you to evaluate yourself from top to bottom. That's why we have to be careful what we allow to come into our sensors, our gates, and what we look at, what we say. And then speak it. He deals with your mouth, too.
Amen.
the gossip, the slander, the profanity. Says it. Give God your heart. God said, you don't need to be parked in any of these places. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now let's turn back to 1 Chronicles 29, where we started. He says, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect, a loyal heart to keep my commandments. Now you know why. And the statute, the testimonies, which is the witness of God, and the statues, which and the statues are the boundaries, the limits, the limits of God. So you just not way off doing your own thing. Keep the commandments, keep the testimonies and the statutes. And then it says, and to do all these things, underline all, each, every, of every type, of every kind. That's why we need a perfect heart. And to build the palace, and the palace is translated as the temple. So you need all these things to build your temple. It comes back to the building of the temple. We know then they had a temple that was made with hands. Now we have a temple that's not made with hands, which is our body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So you need a loyal heart so you can build this temple so you can live right. Tells us in 1 Corinthians that know you, 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 6:19. Know you not that your body is the temple of God? It's not your own. You're bought with a price. So David prays for his son Solomon, that loyal heart, so he could build the temple. God is telling us we got to live right. We got to have a loyal heart so we can build this temple. And he says, for the which I've made provision. So the dad made provisions so the son could live right and build the temple. And so that's telling us, those of us that are parents, we have to make provisions. And these are holy and godly provisions for our kids. We have to set atmosphere in our home. David said he made provisions so his son could live right. So those of us that are parents, who's, and our kids are still in our house, and we don't want them to come back, but if they do come back. But either way, if your kids are in your house, you should be living in such a way that you're making a spiritual provision for them to build their temple, to live right, to have a loyal heart, to serve God, to keep his commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes. That's the end of David's prayer. That's the end of David's prayer. He started in verse 10 and verse 19. So he gives us a model of prayer, but look at verse 20. So we see the prayer is over because in verse 20 he says, and David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord. After the prayer, now bless the Lord, your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the King. And we know who our King is. We bow down and worship the King of Kings. Amen? Amen. And we know who our Lord is. But so David gives us a model. Not only does he pray, but he gives us a model for prayer. And that's why we have service. We come, we start off with prayer, and then we go to worship and we bow down and worship our King. It's a reason why. And so the model of prayer, and we'll investigate this a little further, but he starts off with blessings in verse 10. Underline when you're praying, your model for prayer. Starts off blessing God in verse 10. Verses 11 and 12, he acknowledges who God is, the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. So before he asks for anything, he thanks God for everything. And he blessed God for who God is, not just for what God can do, but who he is. Verse 13, he's so thankful. He recognized how thankful he is in God. Verses 14, 15, 16, and 17 is his reflection, his testimony, his history, and his open honesty with God. Then finally in 18 and 19, then he finally gets to the point where he's asking God for something, where he's petitioning God. And then in verse 20, bless God and worship him. So as we're praying every morning, family, amen. How many of us are still praying every morning? Amen. Here we have the motto. And within this motto, and we're going to compare this with another motto next week. But within this motto, he gives us the acknowledging of who God is. And I use it verbatim, especially the victory and the glory and the power and the majesty. And I use that verbatim because that's God. That's who God is. And then my reflection and my testimony and the history and the honesty is a little different. And my petition is different, but I am praying for the heart of the people and the heart of my children and my wife and my own heart to be loyal to God. Amen. Amen. An excellent motto. Highlight this. Let's meditate. Let's meditate on this one. And you can add, you know, any other scriptures you like. But for let's do it for a week. From Sunday to Sunday and just get up, you know, a few minutes early. Amen. Amen. Read it verbatim. Meditate on it. And watch God move in the life of your families. We're praying for hearts. We've been seeing it even in our own congregation, how the hearts of the family members are changing, and we thank God for that. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word this morning. It's a tough word, Lord, but God, as we're dealing with so much on a daily basis, Lord, we got to get right before we get left. God, we have to stand on your word. If we believe all the promises of God, we have to believe the commandments and the precepts and the principles of God as well. God, I just can't take the good and live off the favor and the blessings without the obedience and the righteousness of God. That's not a real relationship, God. I want to have a real relationship with you, where I'm doing all I can to live right. Doing all I can to love my brother and my sister, my fellow man, the people I work with, the people who I live with, the people who I see and meet. God, that there is no hate in my heart for anyone because you created them. So we're studying in Psalms 139 on Wednesday night. Lord, you knew our days before we had days. You weaved us together when we were in the womb. When our substance was nothing, Lord, you knew us then. So how can we hate anybody or anything that you created? So, Lord, we don't want to pretend to be righteous and have hate in our heart for our brother. So we thank you, Lord. We want to live right. We want to be right. We want to act right. We want to get it right. Because we know that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Say, if you obey me, I will be your God and you'll be my people. God, that's where we want to be at. As we go out and make disciples, build the kingdom, and build our temple for your glory, to be salt and light. So Lord, I want to pray, if anyone's here and they're saying, Pastor, love your word, but I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, you want to accept Christ today, go ahead and elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Or if you're here and you say, Pastor, 2013 was a mess. It was a blur. I was out doing whatever I wanted to do, but God is showing me that he's been waiting for me to come back. And this morning, I want to come back and rededicate my life. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life as we finish 2013 going into 2014, go ahead and elevate your hand. If you're here, you're looking for a church home, and you say, Pastor, I so love the worship and the fellowship with the people and the word. And this is a place where I know I could find my purpose in God of making disciples and building the kingdom of God. I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your family. If you're here and you're looking for a church home, go ahead and elevate your hand. So if you're looking to get saved this morning, you never accepted Christ, or rededicate your life, or unite with us here at South Bay Abundant Life Church, elevate your hand. Thank you, Lord. How we love you on today. Lord, as your word challenges us, as your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, God, let us use the word that we heard today to navigate through. Navigate through today. Let us use it to examine our own heart, our mind, our priorities. Let us use your word so we can be salt and light, that the others might see the good work in us and glorify you that's in heaven. Pray right now for a loyal heart, Lord, for our family, for our friends, for our congregation, for our co-workers. Pray that there is no hate in my heart for anyone. I give that to you, confess and forsake it, that I might find mercy. Oh, we thank you, Lord. And as we prepare to dismiss, as only you can, go before us and then go with us, because you're omnipresent, Lord. Thank you for another opportunity to come together and fellowship with your people. May we have the opportunity today to share Christ with at least one person. And then throughout the week, Lord, give us the opportunity to share Christ with at least one person. Open that door, and Lord, give us the wisdom so we'll know that it's you opening it. Let us encourage someone. Build someone up who's maybe a little beat down. Offer hope to someone who's hopeless. Offer direction of someone who's off track. Oh, we thank you, Lord. You're great and greatly to be praised. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. You are dismissed.
See you next time, Jessica. All right. Yeah.